Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we begin our prayer, making that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here, no matter where we may be as we do our prayer, whether in our lounge room, in a car, in a train or bus on the way to work. You are here. You are everywhere. Behold, I am with you all through the days that are coming, until the end of the world. And we have asked for mercy for our sins. I ask pardon of my sins, because we know ourselves, like everyone, to be sinners. We can't help it. This is our lot, following the original sin of our first parents. But you, in your mercy, give us that great sacrament of forgiveness, the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of joy, the sacrament of penance, of reconciliation, of confession. And you tell us that story of the prodigal son, with whom we all identify, that young man that was unhappy living in his father's house, wanted to explore new coasts, to find a different life, perhaps to be more free. And he asks for that part of the inheritance that is his. And we can imagine that his father, good father as he was, would have tried everything to dissuade him from leaving, telling him how much he was loved, how much he was needed, how much his brother valued his company. And yet, as a good father, he respected his freedom, gave him the money that was owed to him as his inheritance, and let him go with great sorrow, and prayed for him. And that young man went off, squandered his money, lived loosely, and then came to that destitution where he is feeding the swine and doesn't have enough to eat himself. And then he comes to his senses, and he says to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. That great sorrow, that desire to go back home, and expecting perhaps he wouldn't be taken as a son, but he would be happy to be there as a hired servant. And perhaps when he is deciding to return, the devil tempts him to think, but what happens if, when you approach the house, your father sees you coming, knows that you have disgraced him and the family by your loose living, which has become well known? He goes into the house, he bolts the door, he closes the shutters. And when you knock on the door and say, Father, it's me, your son, he says, get away. You don't belong here anymore. This is not your home. This is not your family. You have no place here anymore. What if he says that? Perhaps that would have crossed that young man's mind. But he knew his father, and he trusted that that would not be the reaction. And so, perhaps with some degree of uncertainty, of trepidation, he approaches the house. And Lord St. Luke, in the 15th chapter of his Gospel, tells us the reaction of his father. He says, "While he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" He didn't even finish what he was about to say, and our Lord goes on, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to make merry." Lord, this is the joy that awaits us. The embrace of the Father, when we come back to him in sorrow for our sins, especially through that great sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of penance. You gave us that sacrament on the very afternoon of your resurrection. The apostles were there in the upper room with the doors closed for fear of the Jews. And suddenly you appeared in their midst and you said, "Peace be with you." Perhaps they were frightened seeing you alive and you had to settle them. And so you said, "Peace be with you." But you always wish us peace. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." You give them that great sacrament of mercy that they will minister as judges deciding whether they can forgive the sins or whether in very rare cases they cannot forgive and must retain. And you breathed on them, breathing out the very Holy Spirit, who is so much involved in this sacrament. He is our advocate before the Father. He is love between the Father and the Son. And he is there interceding for us in this sacrament of mercy. And some may ask, "But Lord, why did you make it so hard for us? Why did you give us a sacrament so that we would have to go to a priest, go through that embarrassment of telling our sins to another human being? Couldn't we just confess our sins directly to God?" Many ask that question. And of course, we can confess directly to God, and we should. Every time we make an act of contrition for our sins, we are telling the Father that we are sorry. But we don't hear his answer. We don't hear that we are forgiven. And Lord, you gave us this sacrament because it responds to deep-seated human needs. First of all, that reality that we all sin. Everyone sins, and you wanted to give us a way to be forgiven. And then there is that deep-seated human need to tell others what we have done, good and bad. We are social. We need to share with others the very good things that have happened, but also the bad things, too. People tell others that they have been stopped by the police and perhaps given a speeding fine, or they've had an accident, or they've just had a big argument with someone. We always imagine a man going to work who has had a big argument with his wife, and he tells his friend. He can't help but tell someone. It settles him. It gets that off his chest. But then I always imagine a scene where that afternoon he's going to get a cup of coffee in the canteen, and another colleague of work comes up and says, "I heard about the argument." And he says, "What? Who told you?" And the other says, "Everybody's talking about it. But don't worry. I've got arguments with my wife all the time, too. Don't worry about that. We need to have arguments with them. It keeps them in their place." And what happens? He gets bad advice, and that friend that he originally told tells everyone. Lord, you didn't want this to happen. You wanted to give us a way of telling someone where we would get good advice and that someone wouldn't tell anyone. And that is this sacrament of penance. So you gave it to us because you knew we needed to tell someone. And in the sacrament, we can tell the priest, and through the priest, we are telling you and the Father. And then there is that deep-seated need to hear that we are forgiven. If, for example, a child breaks a precious vase, which was an heirloom in the family, and goes to her mother and says, "Mom, I'm sorry, I broke the vase." And the mother is angry. And suppose in response to her daughter's confession and expression of sorrow, the mother simply says, and storms off. The daughter is not at peace. But when the mother finally comes back to her, gives her a big hug and says, "Don't worry, dear. It was priceless. It was of such great value to our family, but it's only a material thing. I forgive you." Then the daughter is at peace. We need to hear with our ears that we are forgiven, and we do that in the sacrament of penance. And with all of this, you give us a way which is very human. A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace, an outward sign that we can hear, that we can see, that we can touch in a way. And in this sacrament, you become very close to us. If we were simply to say an act of contrition, which we should, you are in some sense not as close. We don't hear you. Pope John Paul II, in an audience in February of 1984, said, "In this perspective, we come to ask whether the Church's instrumentality, instead of being contested, should not rather be desired, since it responds to the deepest expectations that are hidden in the human soul when one approaches God and lets himself be saved by him. The minister of the sacrament of penance thus appears to us within the totality of the Church as a singular expression of the logic of the Incarnation, through which the Word made flesh comes to us and frees us from our sins." You become incarnate. You become audible. We hear you. The Pope said, "It is well to consider that despite the feeling of discomfort that ecclesial mediation can cause, it is a very human method, so that the God who frees us from our sins does not fade into a far-off abstraction, which would in the end become a colorless, irritating, and despairing image of ourselves. You would be far off, and we would say, Lord, you forgive me, don't you? An image of ourselves. Through the mediation of the Church's minister, Pope John Paul goes on, this God makes himself very close to us in the concrete reality of a heart that is indeed pardoned. And one can say, a heart that knows that it is pardoned. Lord, you become close to all of us in this great sacrament. And it shows your love for each person. The priest sitting in the confessional attends to each soul individually, as Lord, you did when you forgave different people their sins, when you laid hands on them and healed them. You did it one by one. And the Church does this one by one through this sacrament. Pope John Paul II, speaking to bishops from Mexico, also in 1984, said, in the exercise of the ministry of the confessional, the priest who makes himself readily available for each of the faithful who needs his service is the visible witness of the dignity of each one of the baptized. The very poorest, as are many of the members of your diocese, for whom nobody takes time in our restless and hurried society, can give witness if they are received by the priests with love and respect in the sacrament of penance to the fact that the Church welcomes everyone, respects and listens to everyone with that personal love which expresses itself in the care and affection of Christ for each and every one whom he has redeemed by his blood. Lord, you give us this sacrament so that we can go and be attended to individually by you through that priest. It confirms our dignity and your love for us. What a great sacrament this is. The Curie of Ars says, the good Lord knows everything. Even before you make your confession, he already knows that you will sin again, and yet he forgives you. How great is the love of our God, who goes so far as to voluntarily forget the future in order to forgive us. Lord, you are always ready to forgive us as long as you can see that we are sorry. And also the Curie of Ars in his Catechesis on Confession says, my children, we cannot comprehend the goodness of God towards us in instituting this great sacrament of penance. If we had a favor to ask of our Lord, we should never have thought of asking him that. But he saw our frailty and our inconstancy in well-doing, and his love induced him to do what we should not have dared to ask. If one said to those poor lost souls that have been so long in hell, we are going to place a priest at the gate of hell, all those who wish to confess have only to go out, do you think, my children, that a single one would remain? The most guilty would not be afraid of telling their sins, nor even of telling them before all the world. Oh, how soon hell would be a desert, and how heaven would be peopled. Well, we have the time and the means which those poor lost souls have not. And Lord, help us to make good use of this sacrament. We don't want to find ourselves in hell and lament that we didn't go to confession when we had the opportunity. And this sacrament gives us so many benefits. one can enumerate 10 at least. First, the forgiveness of our sins. We have come into the confessional burdened by sins, whether they be only a few or only venial. But we have offended you, and they weigh us down to some degree. And we hear those words of forgiveness, I absolve you from your sins, and we go out free from that burden. It is a living out of those words of yours that what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Second, we receive sanctifying grace, that sharing in your very divine life, which makes us holy and pleasing to you. When we have been stained by sin, even venial sin, we come away from confession with our soul completely clean and filled with sanctifying grace, filled with your divine life. And for that reason, regular confession is a help in growing in holiness. Third, we receive a specific sacramental grace proper to each sacrament, which in this case helps us to avoid falling again into the sins we have just confessed. We know that we will probably fall again. We are human. We are frail. But this sacramental grace helps us especially in combating the sins that we have just confessed. And we all know that after confession, we succeed more in avoiding those sins. If we went to confession more often, we would commit far fewer of these sins, especially through this sacramental grace proper to the sacrament of penance. Fourth, with this new grace, each confession is a new beginning in the spiritual struggle. We know that our soul is clean. We have sanctifying grace. We have the special sacramental grace of the sacrament, and we start over afresh. My soul is clean. I want to keep it that way. We struggle harder, and we do better, helped by that grace. And people who go regularly to confession are beginning and beginning again in their spiritual struggle more often. They are truly growing in holiness. And Pope John Paul II, in an address to priests hearing confessions in the Roman basilicas in 1981, said that frequent confession has always accompanied the ascent to holiness in the Church. And that comes about through the grace, but also through that renewed spiritual struggle. Fifth, the priest gives us some words of encouragement and advice. And even though those words may be few, for only a short time, they are helpful. It is spiritual direction, something incisive, something very personal that helps each one of us. And that, too, helps us to grow in holiness, to orientate our struggle, to focus on a particular area. Or perhaps he tells us how we can struggle to avoid falling into this particular sin that maybe we have been afflicted by for some time. Or he clarifies a matter of conscience. Was this a venial sin or a mortal sin? That brief conversation with the priest, those few words of encouragement and advice, are a big help in our spiritual struggle. Sixth, through confession, we grow in self-knowledge because we have to examine our conscience before we go to confession. There we see we have done this and we have done that and the other thing. If we didn't go to confession, we wouldn't examine ourselves so thoroughly. We wouldn't know ourselves. And if we don't know ourselves, and especially our weaknesses, we cannot struggle effectively to grow in virtues and overcome those defects. that self-knowledge is very important in our spiritual struggle. Seventh, we grow in two very important virtues, humility and sincerity, through the very fact of confessing our sins. We all know it is not easy, especially sometimes, to confess certain sins, to reveal to another what we have done. It can be embarrassing, but when we do that, we exercise and grow in humility and sincerity. And we should never worry about what the priest will think of us if we confess those sins. From my own personal experience, my own way of looking at this, when someone confesses something that I know is more embarrassing, I am only edified. I think how good this person is to be able to say all of that with so much sorrow, with so much humility. And I think, what a great saint that person is. We're all sinners, but a saint is the one who confesses their sins, who struggles, who reveals them to another, and is helped by that very action. Eighth, the priest gives us some penance to do. It can be very little, to say a few prayers, to do some act of charity, some small way of making up, in part at least, for our sins. We know that every sin carries with it some temporal punishment that we need to do, either on earth or in purgatory. And perhaps we tend to do very little penance. And now this penance that the priest gives us makes up in some way, at least, for the temporal punishment owing for those sins that we have just confessed. And it speeds us along our way to heaven, shortens our time in purgatory. And perhaps if we do much penance on earth with the penance that the priest gives us, plus other penances that we choose, we will avoid purgatory altogether. This penance is a big help in helping us to grow in holiness. And then ninth, confession often brings about a healing of the soul and the mind. Sometimes we can go into confession with a deep sense of guilt, of anger, desire of revenge, hatred for someone that has hurt us, sadness, even depression. And through confessing our sins, having them forgiven, receiving all of that grace and all of that help, we leave often very healed, without that anger, without that desire of revenge, without that sadness, lifted up. It is a great source of healing. And tenth, as the fruit of all of these other benefits, we always leave the confessional with a deep sense of peace and joy. Lord, in instituting the sacrament, you said to the apostles, peace be with you. We receive peace through this sacrament of peace. We receive that joy. We are freed from our sins. We can start over. Yes, we are all sinners. Yes, we will undoubtedly sin again. But now we are freed. Now we have that new beginning. It is a great help in the spiritual struggle. And this is the joy experienced by the prodigal son when his father kissed him and embraced him and gave him the robe and the ring and the feast. You gave us that parable to explain the joy that we will all experience when we go to this great sacrament of mercy, this great sacrament of joy. And what do we conclude from all of this? First, gratitude for your giving us this sacrament, that we appreciate it, that you gave us a sacrament because you knew we needed it. And through going, we get all of these benefits. Someone who goes regularly, truly grows closer to you, grows in love, grows in holiness. Secondly, that therefore we go regularly to this sacrament. And how regular is regularly? It depends. If we have been going twice a year, to go at least once a month. That should be the minimum for all of us, at least once a month. If we have been going once a month and we have an opportunity to go more often, yes, perhaps to go every fortnight or every week. The more often we go, the more we gain this grace, the more we start over in our spiritual life, the closer we come to God. And thirdly, to help others to go. We all know many people who have not been to this sacrament for a long time. They are missing out. We are benefiting from going, but we should feel that urgency, the urgency of Christ, Caritas Christi urget nos. The love of Christ urges us, says St. Paul, urges us to bring others to this sacrament of joy, this sacrament of mercy. And we can do this first by praying for them, by offering up little penances for them, and then by speaking with them, and perhaps even taking them with us when we go to confession, and going into the confessional first, and telling the priest, "Father, I brought a friend who hasn't been to the sacrament for a long time. Treat her, treat him well." And of course, the priest will, even without those words. But what joy we give to others. Some years ago, there was a good woman who decided to invite her family, her relatives, and friends to go back to the sacrament. She bought copies of my little booklet, Why Go to Confession, gave them to these people, talked with them about the advantages of the sacrament, and went with them to confession. And after something like a year and a half or 2 years, she said, "Father, do you know how many people I've managed to bring back to the sacrament?" I had no idea. And she said, 40. And many of these had been many years without going. She offered to 40 people that great joy of going back to this great sacrament. Lord, help us to value the sacrament, to frequent it, and to help others to go as well. And we go to Our Lady, Mother of Mercy, Refuge of Sinners. Help us to come to your Son often in this great sacrament that he has given us on Easter Sunday, as the first fruits, so to speak, of his death and resurrection, his first gift to the church. Help us to come through your intercession too, to make frequent use of this sacrament and to help many others, that all together we may experience that peace and joy, the embrace of the Father that this sacrament gives. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.